Hello, folks. It's Pastor Brennan coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. And it's good to be here with you today. It's we thank you for those who will be tuning in and are tuning in. And we're going to be talking a little bit about sodomy and why sodomy is wrong and why God doesn't like it. And why God says it's an abomination. And so, with that said, we're going to go right ahead and get started. And if you have your King James Bibles with you, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 1:9. Let's see here. Proverbs. Here we go. Ecclesiastes 1:9. It says, "The things that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." Okay? So, we see that there is nothing new under the sun. Alright, sodomy has been around for a long time. It's been around since way back in Genesis, during the days of Lot, and maybe even before that. But we see that sodomy is not a new thing. It is no new thing. There is no new thing under the sun. And so, you know, God feels very strongly about sodomy, and He feels very strongly about you know, sodomite marriage. He also feels strongly about, you know, marriages that are polygamy, which is basically, you know, I don't know, say you have a husband who has a wife and has, like, two other wives on the side, okay? That's not what marriage is. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Okay, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And so, we're going to kind of go through some scripture tonight. I'm going to be looking at why sodomy is wrong and why God condemns it. Now, just because He condemns it doesn't necessarily mean He hates the sinner. He loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. Amen? And I'll tell you what. There are probably many sodomites who were sodomites, but have repented of their sin, and are born again, are probably even married, and have kids. Okay? So, we're going to go right ahead, and we're going to dive right into it. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Leviticus 18, 22. Leviticus 18... 22. And this is what it says. It says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." So, what God is saying here is that you're not supposed to lie with mankind. And what he means by mankind means that a man should not be going to bed with a man, and a woman should not be going to bed with a woman. That's an abomination in the sight of God, and it's not right. Amen. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. We're going to go all the way into the New Testament. 1 Corinthians. I've got to find it here. And, it's a little bit too far. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse... No, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There we go. It says this, It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous should not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Okay, do you know what effeminate means? Effeminate is when you have a man dressed up as a woman. That's what that is. That's what that is. Now, it says right after that, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You know what that is? That's a sodomite. That is the LGBTQ community. The lettuce, gravy, bacon, tomato, queso community. Okay? And so, we see here that what God's showing us is that these people are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to inherit eternal life. And they won't inherit because if they die in that sin, they're going to end up in hell. They're not going to end up in heaven. Amen? Now, let's see. That's verse 9. Now, verse 10. It's nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners should inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Okay, so Paul says that all these things were such of some of you. So some of you were these things, but are now sanctified and cleansed and washed. Amen? So, let's see here. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verses 26 to 28. Now, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to read from my notes because it might go a little bit faster. And Romans chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. It says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." By the way, even nature teaches you that sodomy is wrong. You want to know something? If you want to know how or why or how there is a creator, Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, created all the natural beauty that we see out here, all the trees and animals and nature. And you want to know something? God teaches us and can teach us by nature that sodomy is wrong. You know why? Because God put the animals, the male and his female. Think about it. What did God pair up when the animals were going onto the ark? The male and his female. It doesn't say the male with his male or the female with her female. No, it's the male with his female. So we see that sodomy, even by nature, God shows us that sodomy is wrong. Why does our nation think that they can get away with saying that sodomy and sodomite marriage and all these transvestites are walking around saying that it's okay for that? Why? You know why? Because we have left God. We kicked God out of schools. And we said no to God. And you know what? God has turned this nation over to a reprobate mind. Amen? A reprobate mind. Anyways, kind of got off there. Let's continue on. It says, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." God has turned this nation over to a reprobate mind. And why? Because we didn't want to retain God and our knowledge in this nation. Why do you think born-again believers are being persecuted in this nation for their faith? And by the way, it's a very small persecution. Just wait. The time might come when believers may be tossed into jail, in prison, for speaking out against sodomy, for speaking out against things that are not right. We're living in a day where people are calling good evil and evil good. Those are the days that we're living in this nation. People need to wake up and repent of their sin. Because I'm going to tell you something, tomorrow might be too late. Even when I get done preaching this message, it might be too late. Because we might be going home. We don't know when. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. It says, "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." In Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9, it says, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." Stop right there. Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, has said, "In the beginning, God made them male and female." Not male and male and female and female. No, He made them male and female. Which, by the way, it just aches me on how people will say, "Well, Jesus never really speaks on gay marriage." Yes, He does. You know how He does it? He tells you in His Word that marriage is between a man and a woman. It's clear cut. And people don't get it. People don't get it because they have a veil over their eyes. They don't see. They don't see the truth. Either because they've deliberately rejected it, or they're just ignorant. It's one of those. But Jesus Christ, our Lord, has mentioned how it is male and female. Amen? "Now, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." Jesus didn't say, "For this reason shall a man leave his parents and cleave to his husband." He didn't say that. He said, "For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." Amen? And it's so weird. It is so weird on how sodomites think they can have kids. It's weird because it doesn't make sense. Amen? It does not make sense. It doesn't. Man, I'm getting real passionate. So, I apologize if I get overly zealous, but, you know, this is something that needs to be preached. Amen? Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 27. "And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burn in their lust one toward another, men with men working with men, that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error," which was me. I think we actually had already gone through that, just thinking about it. Now, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, it says this, "If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood should be upon them." You see, God feels very strongly about sodomites. And how he feels about it is it's an abomination and you shouldn't do it. Because guess what? Sodomites do not go to heaven. I don't care what Pope Francis says. Pope Francis is wrong. If he thinks that sodomites and everybody will all be going to heaven, well, then that means that God is not just. You know why? Because if he was... Okay, first of all, God is just. But if God wasn't just, he just let everybody come into heaven. But that's not true. God is just, he is holy, he is righteous. Hang on a second, I think I said something wrong. Hang on, I apologize. Hang on, let me rephrase something because I think I said something wrong. So let me just... Okay. If our God... If he didn't have his standards, okay, if he just let sin go by, okay, then it's basically a free-for-all. But here's the thing, God is not going to let sin go by. God is not going to let sin go by, and he's not going to let sodomy go by. God will severely judge and punish a nation for that particular sin. He will. I don't care what Pope Francis says about how everyone's all going to heaven. Not everyone's going to heaven. Because not everyone's born again. Amen? Anyways, Jude chapter 1 verse 7. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You know, God rained hell, fire, and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jude, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said that that happened for our example. By the way, Jesus Christ doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he judged Sodom and Gomorrah with hell, fire, and brimstone, what makes us think that he won't do it to America? Amen. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not one jot or tittle of the law and of his word should vanish away till all these things be fulfilled. It's simple. It's not complicated. We tend to make it complicated because of our flesh nature. The gospel is not complicated. It's simple. I'm going to tell you what. I don't want to read all of Genesis 19. But if you guys ever want to go and read the story of what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the judgment that came upon those cities. Okay. I want to encourage you, go read Genesis 19. Now I'm going to turn to Genesis 19. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I want to read bits and parts of it. Because I want to show you how God, I mean, God takes, he takes us seriously. He's not fooling around. Let's see, Genesis 19. Did I say 19? Yeah, I said 19. Let's see here. I don't want to read the whole chapter. I just want to read just a little bit of it. verse 27, it says, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace." And the reason why that is because, let's see here, when we go back up to, and we haven't gotten it to it yet. Hang on. Gotta figure out where I went. Well, anyways, I'll keep on reading. "And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt." So, we see here, and if I can find it, I can't. Let's see. Okay, verse 24. Okay, going back up to verse 24. It says, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." So, out of heaven, God overthrew these two cities with fire and brimstone. Again, what makes us think that God won't do it to this nation? If we continue to allow sodomy and all these other perverse things in this nation, what makes us think that God won't do what he did with Sodom and Gomorrah? Because he doesn't change. Amen? And he is a righteous God, and he's not going to let sin go by. He's going to judge it eventually. Anyways, I want to kind of wrap this up here with just kind of a short little, like, invitation, kind of. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quick unto thee quickly, and will remove that candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Okay, here's an example of this. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't repent of their sin. And you know what happened? God completely wiped off those two cities off the map. They don't exist anymore. If America continues to be in the sin of sodomy and don't repent, he might wipe this whole nation off. So much to where it's unrecognizable. Think about that. Luke chapter 5, verse 32, it says, "I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Okay, I'm going to read a couple more, and I'm just going to kind of just give an invitation here. Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy." One more, and I'll wrap it up. John chapter 8, verse 11, "She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Okay, here's why I say this. I want to speak to the churches first. Churches, if you are allowing sodomy in your church, repent of your sin. If you do not repent, God will remove your candlestick. Repent of your sins and deal and do something about it. Churches, if you don't do if you don't do anything and you just sit back and you don't call this stuff out, you're just as guilty as those who commit it. So churches, I love you. You need to the thing is, we all need to repent. Whether if we're not saying anything or if we're just allowing it. Repent. Non-believers, specifically the sodomites. Listen, I don't hate you. Okay? I don't hate you. I love you all. If I didn't, I wouldn't be talking about this particular message. But what you're doing is an abomination, and you need to repent of your sin. And I'm going to tell you something. God didn't create you and make you to be a sodomite. That's a lie. Don't believe that. Okay? For those who are sodomites, the Lord loves you. He's not happy with you because of your sin. He wants you to repent. But He loves you. Okay? Jesus Christ died for the sins, not just of us, of our sins, but He died for the sins of the whole world. That includes dictators, that includes sodomites, that includes transvestites, that includes whatever it might be. But God is not going to tolerate sodomy much longer. He won't. But He's given you a space to repent. And I beseech you, please repent. Today is the day of salvation. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, you'll be saved. Amen? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, I want you to take what I said and don't take my word for it. Because I could be just as much of a screw up as anybody else. I want you all to take what I said and you match it with the Bible. You guys do your homework. You be Bereans. You take what I say and match it with the Bible and see if I'm right. If I'm wrong, then let God chasten me for it. But if I am right, I pray and ask that God will show you what I'm talking about. Amen? So anyways, hey, listen, I love you guys. I'm not trying to be mean, but I have to preach on it. I have to preach on the whole counsel of God. I can't preach on just grace, Joseph Prince. He seems to preach on a lot of grace. He doesn't really preach on remission of sin or anything like that. And I'm going to tell you something. Most pastors need to start preaching on remission of sin. They need to start talking about heaven and hell. They need to start talking about repentance and remission of sins, turning away from your sins. I'm going to tell you something. If more preachers did that, we could have a revival in this nation. But that is till they do it. And guess what? I don't think they're willing to do it because of pride. It's pride. They're so puffed up with pride. But anyways, I have to preach the whole counsel of God. I need to preach on grace. I need to preach on love. But I also have to preach on remission of sin. I got to preach on things I don't want to preach on. Amen? So, listen, I love you guys. Pray for me. Pray for these videos. Pray that, you know, my prayer is that this video will be a blessing to those who are watching. And listen, I want to be your friend. I do. I don't want to be your enemy. And but this is Pastor Brandon. I'm going to be signing off for the evening. You guys have a fantastic Thursday. We'll probably be doing Fishers of Men. I don't know. We'll probably do Pastor Brandon live tomorrow. We'll see. I don't know. I'll keep you guys updated. But till then, I love you guys. God bless you. See you next time. And remember, think Bible. Love you guys. See ya. Bye.